The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now this week, Children's Health Ireland was thrust back into political discourse as it emerged that an estimated 2,200 families could be caught up in the developmental dysplasia of the hip surgery. Also, the Taoiseach has warned that Trump's tariffs will determine any cost of living measures for the budget. Also, we're all talking about it, the weather, the sunshine, and much more besides. And of course, yesterday we had revelations about the bicycle shed and how no value for money exercise was pursued on all of that. I'm joined by Roderick O'Gorman, Green Party TD for Dublin West and leader of that party, Ian McCurry, Fine Gael TD for Dublin West, Assistant Government Chief Whip, and Harry McGee, political correspondent with the Irish Times. Let's start with that hip scandal. Roderick, were you ambushed by that?
I can only imagine how difficult it is for the parents getting these letters right now. 2,200 parents getting a letter telling them that surgery that their child underwent, often at an incredibly young age, a surgery that they were advised to take by consultants, by clinicians, may not have been necessary.
Did you get the answers you were looking for? I know there's going to be an in-depth report, but you're wondering, how could you have an incorrect diagnosis mm-hmm. leading to surgery on very small mm-hmm. children? And it would appear that nobody's been suspended.
We haven't gotten the answers we need yet. And that's why getting the outcome of that audit is so important. And I know the Minister for Health spoke about that she expects it by next week. I think it's so important that we get that. I think there's that. The big question now is that audit looks at 2 years. Questions have been raised about operations as far back as 15 years ago. And I'm sure every parent who had a child who did an operation outside of that time is asking questions as well. So we need to get the 2-year audit. And I think if that has even the slightest suggestion that there's a wider question about older operations, there's going to need to be a much wider examination.
Now, Harry, it took a whistleblower to reveal this, which in itself is shocking.
Absolutely. And only after a lawyer was brought in and only after persistent communication with CHI. And the extent of it is shocking, as Roderick was saying. The audit is only looking back at the years 2022 and 2023. The results are due next week. But Jennifer Carr-McNeill, the Minister for Health, disclosed this week that letters have been written to parents whose children had operations as far back as 2010.
So some reassuring noises has been made. Look, we're just doing this because we should, rather than we think there's a problem.
Yeah, so it's not to say that every child that underwent that operation went in under false premises and had an operation that should not have occurred. But it's certain that some operations have taken place that should not have occurred. And the question that begs is, how did this arise? You're talking about clinicians who have expertise in this area, who are meant to take the call on this. Why did they allow operations to take place? When, if, and when they knew that those operations were not strictly necessary.
Now, Emer, we know nothing of the status of the whistleblower, at what rank they were. I mean, if you've got operations going on, there are a number of people in the theatre. There's an anaesthesiologist, there's a theatre sister usually, there's a porter who brings people in, there are the surgeons. I don't know how many people might be there. It's strange, if this was going on, and it does appear that it was going on, that only one voice was raised as whistleblowing.
Yeah, I think that's a very good point. And that whistleblower came to made this aware back in September 2023. And the Department of Health were made aware of it in May 2024. And then a decision to take an audit in July 2024. The most important thing is that this clinical audit is happening, that parents back to 2010 have been informed about what's going on. And we really need to see that report. The minister has said that an action plan will follow. There needs to be clarity for parents that have been impacted. This is very, very serious and disturbing issue. The parents that haven't been and families that haven't been impacted, they need to know as well. So we are looking. When we see this report, there is going to be serious analysis is going to be required.
There may be grey areas here, and I mentioned this during the week that you might have two consultants who look at one child, and one says, "I think we better do that operation," And another consultant says, well, maybe we should wait a couple of years and see if the child grows out of it. You know, there may be a grey area. There may be no wrongdoing at all.
And
we don't know that yet, do we?
Yeah, and it seems that there are variances across the hospitals. And what's happening now since March is that there has been a multidisciplinary team that's brought in for that kind of consultation before surgery. So that is happening. But look, you're absolutely right. We don't know what's going to be fully in this report, but it is absolutely going to demand our attention.
I think the approach that Taoiseach took this week, where he kind of conflated the reason why these letters were sent and kind of implied because the draft report was leaked online earlier on, that that's why the letters were being sent, when actually my understanding is that sending letters to parents was actually a recommendation of the report, that giving parents notice that this investigation was going on. So just, you know, there's been a bit of drift feed here. It can only add to the stress of the parents, and indeed some of these kids now are probably well into their teens, if not later. So I just think the Taoiseach didn't handle that particularly well in the Dáil this week.
The reason I'm concerned about the grey area is that there were initial reports that there were two hospitals involved, and then there were reporting that maybe the four children's hospitals may have been involved. Now, Harry, on top of the scoliosis spring insertion scandal, on top of the delay in opening up the paediatric hospital and so on, CHI, I mean, it's a shambles.
I think you would struggle for another word to describe CHI. It has been not the most efficient agency in the health service, not the most efficient agency in government. And one of the things that concerns me is the letters that were written this week to parents to ensure that all the follow-up reviews and consultations took place post-operation, and there seems to be some evidence that not all parents were given the opportunity to have the proper review consultations in the wake of those operations. So it seems to me that it is at the very best, that there are very, very serious inefficiencies within CHI. But I think they recognise that and they're trying to address last year or two.
If you've got orthopaedic surgeons, and we know the waiting lists are incredibly long and kids are not getting timely interventions, the fact that you say, well, do we spend an hour reviewing this, or do we bring a child into theatre and do a procedure in that hour? I mean, might those kind of decisions have been made?
Yeah, I think in one sense we're talking a little bit in a vacuum, because the actual report isn't available until next week, and there's a lot of the data and the information that we require that we haven't seen as yet. But all of those things are possibilities, and I think that once this review has been completed, I'm quite sure there will be a further examination or indeed an inquiry looking into this. If the problem is more extensive than what was believed previously, but it does go to show that there are deep, systemic, fundamental problems within the CHI. The government is trying to address them. I'm not quite sure if they've been fully addressed as yet.
Emma?
Well, what I'd say is I think there has been an effort on the part of the opposition to really undermine the process that's underway in relation to communicating with parents. Those letters have been sent out over the last weeks and months. So parents have received those letters, and the letters were sent out as soon as there was any media reporting in relation to this audit. It's not that the letters were just sent last week. So the parents are being communicated with as much information as they can be given at this moment in time, until we have the recommendations and the results from the clinical audit. But I find it disappointing that the opposition, I think, are creating more anxiety for parents by causing this confusion. I think it's been clear the steps that have been taken and the steps that need to happen before we can take strong recommendations.
But it looks like, I don't know what the medical profession call it, but kind of governance, proper governance of all of these procedures does not appear to have been going on in certain areas within children's health. But let's go on to something that we do have chapter and verse on, the bicycle shed, Roderick.
Yeah,
the report.
Report this week about a full value for money audit not been undertaken. And I think it shows us that there is a real challenge within government procurement. in terms of wanting to get something done for value for money, but wanting to get something done speedily as well.
We point the finger at your party because, I mean, it's argued that your party are the bicycle party and therefore you would be the people pushing for a bicycle shed irrespective of its cost, a bit like some of those bike lanes.
Well, I don't know who's making that argument, Pat, but I'm certainly not making it.
The bicycle lanes that are being constructed are sometimes well over spec and very expensive. So maybe it's just that green thing. You've got green money, spend green money on green initiatives. And now no value for money audit being done. How true is that of many of the initiatives? Just because they're green means they go.
No, I don't. I think you've made a lot of big statements there, Pat, so let's just rein that in for a moment. It's absolutely essential when government, state money, public money has been spent that we do good value for money audits on it. It wasn't done in the situation of the bike shed, but we're that is one instance. We know it wasn't done in terms of the security hut that was done at the other side.
But your party were in government when these projects were pushed through.
My party was part of that government, as was Emer's party, as was Fianna Fáil as well. And, you know, obviously the relevant minister, Minister O'Donovan, was in Emer's party. And absolutely, the criticism put down in terms of the cost of the bike shed is entirely justifiable. But that, again, is why we need to come back to looking at our procurement policies to see how government can get things done speedily.
I'm sick of hearing about learnings. There'll be learnings from this and learnings from that. During the week, we had the proposed cost of the National Maternity Hospital moving to St. Vincent's, 2 billion. And this is, I'm aghast at that because down in Limerick, at the Bon Secours, the new Bon Secours with 170 beds, now it doesn't have all the bells and whistles of a children's hospital. It came in at 190 million.
And that shows that value for money can be put in place. So that's why it is so important that we get that balance right between getting value for money, but also speed, Pat, because we know sometimes when those processes are put in place, they actually delay the delivery of badly needed infrastructure.
All right, they did it privately, and the Barrington's group that run the Bon Secours, the new one, 170 beds in. They turned the sod in 2023.
Yeah,
this is 2025.
Yeah. And I mean, we have examples of infrastructure being built throughout Europe, medical infrastructure, hospitals built for a fraction of the price that we've built here. I think that part of the reason that the tender seemed to be so high is because contractors were perhaps a little bit spooked by what had happened with the National Children's Hospital. It was lowballed. They started off with a very low figure of 600 million and it escalated over the years. Leo Varadkar famously said that the hospital would be finished by 2020 unless a meteorite hit the planet, and it didn't happen. And it went on. The plan, as I understand it, for the National Maternity Hospital is a very simple plan. It's very basic. It doesn't have any of the kind of the architectural features.
So why does it cost two billion? It's just insane. All the high tech stuff will. There'll be some high-tech stuff in the hospital. Most of it will be in Vincent's. The idea being if a mother becomes critically ill after having a baby or before having a baby, that mother can be moved swiftly into the St. Vincent's complex. So you don't need sophisticated theatres and all that. You need delivery suites which are comfortable and nice and private and pleasant for giving birth.
Absolutely.
So pregnant women are not sick.
I think some of the reasons that are posited, and I think we'd have to see the figures to drill down on it, is because of the site. It's not a greenfield site. So it's a site that's within a campus of an existing hospital, a little bit like the St. James's campus for the National Children's Hospital. That creates its own problems.
And have you heard of a baby bubble in Dublin 4 by any chance? I haven't.
No.
The baby bubbles are happening out in your area, or your neck of the woods, Emer, aren't they? You know, that's where people are having families. Young families are on the outskirts of the city, not in Dublin 4, where accommodation for staff is going to be hellishly expensive.
And absolutely. Dublin West has always been an area of growth, one of the fastest growing areas in the country. But just to bring it back to value for money, we have to make sure that those checks for value for money are there. I mean, the OPW can't operate on the basis of a blank check when it comes to things like bike sheds or security huts or anything else. We do have plenty of examples of projects running to budget and on time in our own constituency as well. But the government has accepted and moved on the fact that we have to focus on infrastructure delivery, infrastructure value for money, and actually the word delivery. Yeah.
But you know the Ryanair principle, the flight wherever to the south of Spain, it takes 2 hours and 20 minutes. But the flight time allowed by Ryanair is maybe 2 hours, 50 minutes. So they're always on time or even early.
Yeah.
So if you put a budget for the National Maternity Hospital at 2 billion, of course you'll manage to get it in on time. Because if you overcharge for something, you're almost guaranteed to meet your budget.
Yeah, I think some parts of it are contingency. The construction inflation and contingency are kind of built into some of the tenders. And there's, I think, an excess of caution there. But the price is still, with all of those things in it, is still surprisingly high and would be shocking because it's a more modest hospital than the National Children's Hospital, which is at 2.5 billion and which is a much bigger hospital with more bedrooms and with more technology. Yeah, but more
we're talking about almost the same level of cost projected, and they don't have the Drimna Sewer to cope with, which the
I'm sure there are issues pertaining to the St. Vincent site that will have to be dealt with. I'm not quite sure what they are, but it would have been cheaper to build it on a greenfield site. But I think they do want to have access to a tertiary hospital. They want to, you know, beside it. So you'd have to go to Connolly or down to Talla if you wanted to build it on the suburbs, essentially.
I think you were speaking of Dublin West and the baby boom there. There is that proposal to move the rotunda out to a greenfield site at Connolly Hospital, which I think both of us as Dublin West TDs would strongly support. There is the space there and look, there's the need there as well.
All right. Before we conclude today, it is very sunny out there and very warm. As far as I know, when I came in at 7 o'clock,
beautiful day, yeah.
It was certainly sunny, still like that. So the things that Irish people do in the sunshine, Harry.
Well, I mean, I think if you're a school kid, I think it's Murphy's Law that the weather is always nicest when you're in school. So my daughter who's in secondary school, they resent the fact that the weather is so nice at the moment.
And they know it can't last, don't they?
They know that it will stop as soon as they finish school. I mean, it's just been so pleasant. I mean, I've been walking, I've been jogging, cycling. I went swimming last weekend and it was just amazing. Mm-hmm. And the water was warm as well.
The things that we do, I mean, in Dublin, it's noticeable that every bit of water, whether it's Grand Canal Dock or a canal, will have young fellas leaping off the locks or whatever. What do you do in the sunshine, Roderick?
Well,
you take your top off.
I'm a bit too pasty now for that to be acceptable. I think every summer I tell myself, yeah, this is the year. It's going to be a sea swim. I'm going to become that sea swim person. And after about maybe 45 seconds in there, I'm like, no, I'm not built for that. But no, it's absolutely amazing. Like Harry, out running, out on the bike at the moment. It's wonderful to see the city looking so good right now.
And of course, Irish people have an aversion to SPF 50, don't they, Eimear?
Well, I don't. And I think actually people are getting better at this, investing in SPF. And my kids would know about putting on the SPF. Even my parents would have been good at that. But I think for me, it's the amnesia that people get as soon as the sun comes out. You end up buying stuff for your house that you think that you're always going to use. You buy stuff for your wardrobe and then it doesn't get used because a few days later it's raining again and the next year you can't find it.
You have to wait for the farmers to start complaining that there's been no rain. That's the next part of the process.
Indeed, but I saw during the week there's a prediction it'll be a bumper year for farmers this year. But that means prices higher for the consumer at home. Anyway, that's for another day. Eimear Curry, Fine Gael TD, Dublin West and Assistant Government Chief Whip. Roderick O'Gorman, Green Party TD for Dublin West and leader of that party. And Harry McGee, political correspondent with the Irish Times. Thank you one and all for joining us. A reminder that our items from today are uploaded as podcasts, which you can listen to on the Newstalk app, powered by Go Loud. Just search for The Pat Kenny Show. My thanks to the team, editor Eimear Bradley, senior producer Claire Darmody, producer Niamh Dunn, researchers Cian Burns and Dylan Hand, the broadcast assistant Anne Kane, Cormac McDonough on sound.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.